Would you talk about inflammation, Alan, just so people have a better, clear picture of inflammation? What actually is inflammation? It's the cause. It's present in every single disease or disorder in the body.
Yes, and most people don't know what inflammation is, and most of us as doctors, I don't think, really understood or understand inflammation. And it's frustrated me for many years when we learned in school, well, this inflammation's around, involved in probably all chronic diseases. But what actually is it? And it turns out, by the way, before we get into the inflammation story further, the glutathione really helps reduce inflammation and reverse inflammation. So that's another reason to, and it's actually part of the aging process itself. The disease process and the aging process are really the same thing. We just gave it different names. But what's going on, what is inflammation actually, is known now, or a lot more known about it. It's free radical damage to the cells, cell membranes especially, and the mitochondria, the mitochondrial membrane, where the energy is actually made, the ATP energy unit for every cell.
Back
in the body.
To energy again.
Right. It's all about energy. And I didn't know this until maybe 4, 5, 6 years ago. I read some article, and I just so simple, but I just wasn't aware of it, that in this planet Earth, everything that's alive, whether it's a one-celled algae thing or a complex human being and everything in between, plants, animals, everything, only make energy one way, no backup system. ATP production inside the mitochondria, the little energy units inside, factories, energy factories inside each cell. And there are about 200 to 5, 6,000 mitochondria in every cell. Well, when I connected those two facts, that the number one fact that everything in this planet needs ATP to get to run any cell functions, and number two that and there's no backup system, and number two that every cell has hundreds to thousands of mitochondria in it making these ATP molecules every second to do all work by enzymes in the body. Well, it's all about energy. It's all about cellular energy. And I came up with a little analogy here. In the investment world, people talk about ROE, which stands for return on equity. Well, our equity is our energy, and we're talking about cellular energy because you're only as healthy as your cells again, just plain common sense. And many doctors now use glutathione to help with chelation treatment, and they add a glutathione, it's called an IV push, at the end of their chelation treatments. And also it's not a bad idea to be adding colonics maybe the next day, the next morning, after chelation therapy and after mercury removal.
I totally second that.
It may be important to also enhance the protocol by adding, having a medical doctor add an IV glutathione push at the end of your treatment for chelation that day, and maybe the next morning after having mercury fillings removed might be a good protocol, and also adding colonic therapy after having heavy metal removal. These are all good things to get the metals out of the body, really help push them out. But it's glutathione that sort of gather them up, but they still have to get out of the body. That's why we need the organs of elimination working well.
Well, you agree with me that slow, steady is better for detoxification. I told the story in the second class about the turtle and the hare. You know, the little turtle goes plodding along step by step, day by day, wins the race, versus the hare is kind of sporadic. That's how people are thinking of detoxification today. Like, let's get a product. I'm going to go on this product for 7 days or 30 days. I'm going to get the toxins out. I'm fine. And that's just not how it's going to happen. So, I mean, I know you agree with me on that completely.
Absolutely. It's basically the toxins, the heavy metals, so forth, have been there for years, if not decades. And so what's the rush about trying to get it all done in 7 days and might really hurt yourself? And we see the disaster cases, and we see cases where the person's tired for the rest of their life after having 10 mercury fillings taken out in one visit, which is not a proper protocol. And it's just, they're already tired. And then to subject them to that kind of trauma, it's just really a downward spiral for many of those people after that. So we want to prevent those kind of things, which really brings up the next subject, and that is we really have to have an open bowel and good liver function and good bile production and a proper functioning GI tract and have enough energy to properly detoxify. And I know that you espouse this and teach this, Donna, and so why don't you comment on what I just shared there?
Well, we're going to be having a guest coming up shortly who's going to talk to us about colon therapy. That's a powerful tool in this day and age. It's an ancient tool that we've forgotten about and very valuable to bring back again. So we're going to be talking about that. I've said this repeatedly over and over. A probiotic diet is an essential diet in this day and age. You know, we have when you are eating a diet that's rich in nutrients and when you are digesting everything that you're eating because you're using enzymes and you're eating probiotic foods with that meal, then all the nutrients in a healthy food like dark green leafy vegetables, eggs, all the many, many wonderful, the great oils and so on that we have in the diet, the quinoa, all those foods are rich in important nutrients like vitamin C and vitamin and taurine and so on. And the diet makes you stronger, and so you start to detoxify. And as a matter of fact, sometimes people think the diet doesn't work because, you know, they're feeling great for the first 2 or 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden they start feeling really bad. And that's because their body's gotten so much stronger, so much healthier, that they're now in a cleanse or in a detoxification stage. And again, that's where I think colon therapy is very important. But, you know, the diet is critical to this whole process because the nutrients themselves all play key roles in getting these toxins out of the body. It's just so magnificent the way the body's been designed. For example, take taurine, which is an amino acid. It's usually very deficient in people who have yeast infections because they urinate the taurine out. And if you the yeast actually, well, we have two articles on our website, part one and part two, on this very subject written by Dr. Leonard Smith, who's one of our upcoming guests, about taurine. And I'd love for everybody to go and read that. But taurine is deficient in people who have yeast infections. And so taking taurine as a supplement is a great idea. Eating animal proteins is where that's where you'll get this amino acid, and you've got to digest those proteins well. But I still would recommend with taurine that people take about 1,000 milligrams twice a day. And taurine, though, increases bile production. So you can see that's how the liver gets the toxins out, is through the bile. So you can see how important nutrients are. And so eating is an important tool for cleansing and detoxifying. And we just have the very best system out there for we've just got all the bases covered. And that's why, you know, there's nothing better than the Body Ecology Diet for this time and age that we're in right now.
I'd like to make one more just emphasis times 100 here, and that is to detoxify is just so energy dependent. It's just the most energy dependent thing the body probably does. And so we just need to make enough ATP to be able to detoxify and to detoxify safely. Otherwise, you're just going to move and have the organs of elimination open and so forth. Otherwise, you're just going to probably move a lot of the toxins, especially the heavy metals, around, and you may be driving them deeper into the cells and into the tissues, making it even more difficult to remove them later on.
Yeah, that's really important to stress for people. I've seen people get in trouble because they do chelation, for example, and they're basically doing when they do chelation is they move the heavy metals, mobilize them out of the cell. They don't get out of the body because the detoxification pathways aren't open. So those toxins just move around to a different place in the body, and very often, because these toxins can easily cross into the blood-brain barrier, they lodge into the brain and actually affect a person's behavior and how they think and feel very much. So it's very much affected as well.
Yes, and we actually have a measurement, a blood test we do called beta 2 microglobulin. It's a special immune marker, and that if that is high out of the medical range, then that means heavy metals are entering the brain and that the blood-brain barrier is failing or has failed to function optimally. And so, and most dentists will have very high levels, high to very high levels. So that's one of the mandatory tests we like to see. And the American Medical Association came up with an article in February of 2008 saying that measuring beta-2 microglobulin was the best predictor of how long he would live, and also that it should be tested in anyone over 60 once a year, and is more important as an inflammatory marker measurement than C-reactive protein, which is a very popular test these days. Not that you shouldn't do C-reactive protein, but beta-2 is even more important. So we incorporate that into our blood chemistries that we do.
So you're talking about blood work here. These are
that's one of the ways,
by blood work.
Yes, because these are very specific markers that are in the blood, but not normally tested. We have a very outstanding wellness profile that we test 55 things, and we have some extremely reasonable pricing from a very special lab in Santa Monica, California, to do that. The next subject I'd like to get into, Donna, is the story about haptens and versus antigens. And most people are not familiar with this term hapten, but this has a lot to do with heavy metals. And an antigen is something that's alive, so something like a bacteria or a virus or cancer cell. And so the body's immune system is trying to attack and fight and destroy and remove those antigens. And when you have an allergic reaction, you know, that's the body's making a lot of antibodies to some antigen. But a hapten is different. A hapten is something that's not alive. It's not a virus, a bacteria, and so forth. And so heavy metals and petrochemicals and these types of things fit into the category of haptens. And when the body's trying to fight these things, it gets worn out. The immune system exceeds its adaptive capacity. It thinks it's something alive. It tries to keep fighting it, but it can't eat it. It can't kill it because it's not alive. So it keeps fighting it for years and years or decades, and eventually the immune system gets kind of tired and they get out of balance, which could contribute to autoimmune problems and so forth. But basically it just wears you down. This is one of the reasons that heavy metals are so debilitating over time, perhaps, because they just suck up your energy, and sooner or later the body can't keep up.
I said early on in the very, very beginning, I think the very first class, that there was a big announcement about to be made by the FDA or by the Dental Association, I guess. Could you talk to us about that? Because that's actually a major breakthrough for us. It's sort of like the cigarette industry finally admitting that indeed, cigarettes cause cancer.
Yes. This was happened a little over a year ago, but a federal judge ruled in a federal court that the FDA could no longer say that mercury fillings were sort of okay and didn't hurt anything, similar to the tobacco industry claiming that there weren't any proof that that cigarettes were bad for you. I think it's August of this year, 2009, that the FDA has to comply with this federal ruling and come up with a statement about mercury and warn the public. We're not sure how it's going to come down, and we hope that they'll comply and not just ignore it. This has been going on for a 30-year battle, but it looks like we're finally getting near the end of it. And the leading gladiator on the no-mercury side, mercury-free, is Charlie Brown, and he's an attorney, and he's been the head of this fight for 30 years, and you can go to his website. It's called toxicteeth.org. That's toxicteeth.org, and read about this. I just got a re-email this morning from Charlie Brown going into some detail about one of the companies that is the leading manufacturer of the mercury filling material that dentists buy. And they actually went to the board of directors meeting of that company and put in a proposal for them to stop making the mercury. And many of the shareholders are very interested in this, because otherwise it's going to, if they don't solve this in some manner, it's going to wind up being some pretty ugly lawsuits that will go on for years, like happened in the asbestos industry, perhaps. So we'll keep everybody abreast on this, if you would like, Donna, and we could have maybe update once a month with a little corner on your website somewhere about the current status of this.
Well, dentistry is so important that I'd like to actually have many more articles in our newsletter on this subject. So as long as people are subscribed to this free newsletter that we offer each week, they'll get. We'll keep them updated that way. I think that would be great. The important thing is just finally the truth is coming out. It makes me so angry because people are still saying, not people, but businesses, big businesses, are still saying, well, the toxins are in such small amount, they're really not causing us any problems. But there was a factory, it was in China, and they closed it down in 2005. I think the government just closed it down. And then researchers went in and began to study the effect that the children that were born while the factory was still open, they discovered that they weren't as intelligent. They had smaller brains, and there was a lot of signs that, prenatally as fetuses, they were actually damaged by the toxins in the air. And then the government shut the factory down. And just within a couple of years, the children being born in that city were more intelligent, and their head size grew. And so there's a lot of excellent research out there showing that these toxins are extremely dangerous and damaging. And the waking up that we're going through right now is the first step. And then because we want change, we will start to put that vibration out in the universe, and then solutions are going to be coming. We have a lot of solutions now. We're offering a lot of solutions in this workshop, and you've given us some great ones today, Alan. But we have still a long way to go, and some of the toxins that we have on the planet are going to be here with us for a long time. But it is also amazing how quickly nature can clean up herself, and it may be a few generations before we really truly start to give birth to truly healthy babies again. But the first step is awareness, and that's what's exciting about this whole thing that with the mercury issue and the FDA, is the truth is finally being told. Now, one of the things, too, you've got to share with us about is about tartar on your teeth and how to prevent it for the rest of your life, because I know you've got a great solution there for people.
Yeah, I consider this. I have two bonus subjects to discuss here. One is the tartar on your teeth, and most people have never thought about this. But where does the tartar come from? And why is it there? And some people, as dentists, we clean their teeth, or a hygienist cleans the teeth, and 10 days later we're seeing the patient for something, and they have a whole bunch of tartar back on their teeth in like 10 days. Well, how is that possible? Where did it come from? Well, it came from the saliva, the calcium precipitating out, but what's going on here is that they have something called free calcium. They have an excess of calcium, and it's dumping on the teeth, but it's also perhaps dumping in other places that are not too good, and this is the systemic dental connection again. If it precipitates out in your eyes, you could get cataracts. In joints, you have arthritis issues. In blood vessels, it's contributing to the plaque, the calcification of the plaque and the arteries. In prostate cancer, they're finding calcium nodules in the men, in the tumor. And in women, when they do a breast scan, a mammography scan, what are they looking for? A mammogram? What are they looking for? They're looking for calcium nodules. And free calcium tends to get involved in most chronic diseases, and it is involved in cancer, but not just cancer, many, many, many things. And so free calcium is not a good thing. And we're able to determine this on a blood chemistry. And the reason somebody has free calcium is they don't have enough phosphorus. There's a ratio between calcium and phosphorus to keep the calcium in solution. We don't have time today to go into detail on this and show you how to measure it, but free calcium is not a good thing. In the future, hopefully, we'll get to do a little talk on that.
Microflora play a real key role in helping to keep the calcium, free calcium from occurring in the body too. So once again, it's just I constantly come back to the fact that they're essential to have in our gut.
Many times we test this, are low in vitamin D. About half the population is low, and about one-fourth the population is very, very low. And when you're low in vitamin D, you're probably going to be severely low in phosphorus because vitamin D is necessary to absorb phosphorus properly. It isn't because we're not eating phosphorus. Phosphorus is in all meats and it's in all vegetables. That's not the deal. We're just not absorbing it in sufficient quantities. And most people are not sitting in the sun too much anymore, especially our children. When I was a kid, you couldn't get me to come inside. Now it's hard to get kids to play outside. They're so glued to computers and so forth. And so that's a major problem. The last thing I'd like to shed some light on today, and we're going to provide you with some pictures here, I think, and that's a subject called tongue diagnosis. And this is another example of the connection between the mouth and the rest of the body. And if you see, there's a couple of slides we're going to put up here, and one shows indentations around the side of the tongue. And not everybody has this problem, but I'll bet you about 30 or 40 or 50% of the population does, and you can look at your own tongue. And if you have these indentations of the teeth around the edges of the tongue, that means you're probably mineral deficient. Another picture shows the tongue with grooves in it and cracks and so forth, and this is usually B vitamin deficiencies. And there are many coatings that appear on the tongue in different colors, brown, yellow, gray, thick coatings, mucousy coatings, and these all mean specific things, or the tongue having a very reddened tip. And so perhaps in the future we can give a course on this. We have an excellent book on this called The Tongue Never Lies, and it's an exciting subject. And as a dentist, this comes from Chinese medicine, and most dentists are not versed in this subject, even though we're looking at the tongue all the time. And once you get educated on it, it's kind of fun. And you don't have to be a dentist to look at your own tongue. Anybody can do that if they have some knowledge of what they're looking at. What does it mean?
Well, we would love for people to have access to this book. It's fascinating and simple, really simple to understand. And it gives you some great information. Can you imagine just looking in the mirror and noticing that you've got these little scallops along the outside of your tongue, and that's then you know you're deficient in minerals. But you know, not everybody can get blood test done. So this is a great book, and we're going to make this available to people.
And this is an example of how the mouth is a window, an actual window to the rest of the body without doing surgery or scoping people or something like that. And my last closing message, Don, is it's all really about prevention. And dentistry seems to be about the only profession that paid attention to prevention. But medical intervention is just too expensive these days. And so where possible, we need to get educated enough so we can take advantage of things that exist and protocols and so forth to actually be highly preventative in the way we lead our lives in diet and lifestyle.
Well, thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you, Dr. Seshi. Thank you, Donna. And thank all of you for joining us for the fourth class in Body Ecology's detoxification training. Next week, our special guest, Dr. Darren Weissman, author, speaker, and creator of the Lifeline Technique, is going to be with us. In next week's class, Dr. Weissman and Donna Gates will be talking about how you can detoxify your body and mind from emotions, but not just any emotions. Donna and Darren are going to talk specifically about the emotions in your subconscious mind, and those are emotions that are actually below choice, so we don't even know we have them. We're going to learn how those subconscious suppressed emotions affect your health and well-being. This is a class you're not going to want to miss. We've received a lot of questions about making better choices in your home. Some of the questions had to do with cookware. Some of them had to do with plastic storage, like Tupperware and things like that. And a lot of questions are asking what products we recommend. And so I talked with Donna and the Body Ecology team, and we put together a list that we call the Go Green List, Body Ecology's Go Green Guide. And you will all have in your handout this Go Green Guide, so that what this does is it takes you room by room through your house and helps you understand some of the better choices you can make with respect to products and some of the tools that you're going to use. Some examples, if you're in your kitchen, are pots and pans. We get a lot of questions on the pots and pans that people should use. While stainless steel is a great option, an even better option is enamel-coated cookware like Le Creuset cookware. Also, for food storage, there are so many wonderful options like Pyrex bowls, which are made of glass. They have plastic tops on them, but your food is actually sitting in the glass, so it's much better for you. The other thing you can do is you can use stainless steel bowls, which also have plastic tops. We do prefer the glass bowls, though. If you're on the go, I mentioned in an earlier class that I used to take breakfast, lunch, and dinner to work when I had a really busy corporate job, and I would take things in Tupperware because I simply needed something that was light enough and also would be safe for me to carry it around. And so there are some things that you can do if you're going to have to use plastic. One of the things that you can do is make sure you understand the type of plastic that's safer, that's slightly safer. And if you look at the bottom of a plastic storage container, it will say a number. Sometimes it's in this little triangle, and there's a number on the bottom. That number will give you a guide as to how safe that plastic is. So when you look at the bottom, if you see something that says plastic number 3, which is PVC, we recommend that you avoid that because it has toxic DHEA. It's also this plastic number 3. It's not often used in plastic storage, but it is often used in plastic wrap, so we would recommend that you avoid that. Also, we'd recommend that you avoid plastic number 7. That's the hard and clear plastic. Remember the hard green Nalgene bottles? That would be an example of that hard plastic, and that is polycarbonate, which is known to leach bisphenol A or BPA. Safer plastic options are the ones that have number 1, number 2, number 4, or number 5. So those are the ones you would look for if you happen to be needing something to store things in plastic. The other thing we want to recommend is please don't microwave in plastic, because that's when you microwave plastic, it can actually leach toxins into your food. As we move to the living room and family room, we know that these are places where your family spends a great deal of time. And so some of the things that were new to me when I was starting to study detoxification and toxic exposure, I didn't realize how many toxins were in the home. In fact, indoor air is more toxic than outdoor air, and there are over 150 chemicals in your home. So if you imagine yourself in your living room, one of the surprising things might be that furniture is actually toxic if you pick the wrong types of furniture. So, for example, if you have furniture with fabrics that are stain-resistant, wrinkle-resistant, inflammable, these are fabrics that have been treated with toxins. There are also woods and wood particulate that's been treated with toxins, which can off-gas volatile organic compounds, or VOCs, like formaldehyde, for example. These VOCs can vaporize into the air and enter the atmosphere. So if you have new furniture, there are a couple of options. One is to buy green new furniture, green in quotes, where the fabrics and the woods are all natural, natural sustainable woods and all natural fabrics. And we give you some options where you can find people who offer those in case you're in the market for some new furniture. Other people, what they'll do is they'll purchase furniture and leave it outside for anywhere from several days to several months, which can actually help with respect to the off-gassing if green furniture doesn't fit into your budget. Something that fits into almost everyone's budget is vintage furniture, which you can get at secondhand stores or maybe at antiques markets. Recycling furniture is a great idea because it keeps the landfills from filling up with old furniture. It's also much more affordable, and either the off-gassing has already happened or these pieces of furniture were made prior to adding all of these wrinkle-resistant toxins and flame retardants and things like that to the furniture. As we move into the bathroom, it's important to know that your bathroom is full of toxins. When you think about beauty and personal care products, shampoos, lotions, toothpaste, soaps, things like that, if you're not using all natural products or not really looking at the ingredients, there may be many hidden toxins in there. And these are our beauty products. These are our personal care products that are we want these things to help us be young and beautiful, and yet many of them are contributing to the aging process. So when it comes to soap, we've given you some solutions for soap and some ideas for some of the least toxic soap on the market, like Dr. Bronner's liquid soaps, for example, and cosmetics, makeup. Laranum is a great 100% pure mineral makeup. And for moisturizer, we recommend that you actually use unrefined organic oils. So for years, I've been using sesame oil. on my hair, on my face, and it's a really wonderful moisturizer that helps your skin absorb really great vitamins and essential fatty acids. You can actually even use unrefined organic olive oil or almond oil, even coconut oil. And if you'd like, you can put some therapeutic-grade essential oils into these oils and make yourself something that smells really great and has some healing properties as well. If you think about the overall household, one of the major contributors to toxins is cleaning products. And it would really be wonderful to think about how you can replace any chemical cleaning products that you have with safer, toxin-free cleaning products. Ecova and Seventh Generation are a couple of options that tend to be right in your health food store or grocery store. You can also purchase those online. One of the things I love to do is to use about a cup of vinegar and a cup of water, and then I put some peppermint or lavender essential oil or even lemon essential oil, about 20 drops. And since these therapeutic-grade essential oils are all antiviral, antifungal, antibacterial, they do a really wonderful job at cleaning things up in your bathroom, in your kitchen, wherever you might need to do cleaning, and they smell great too. So those are all some options. We're also going to provide you a link to an article that we've written in the past which talks about some other home remedies like baking soda and white wine that can actually get out stains and help you clean your home. Something that many people may have only heard about a little bit are electromagnetic fields, or EMFs. And those create chaos in the environment and sort of can contribute to many different symptoms that people have, like insomnia, joint pain, fatigue, depression, and many others. So we're going to give you some information in your handout about electromagnetic fields, as well as a couple of really great options that have been tested by some of our moms at home who have children with autism. We have some links in your handout to some really great products where you can actually test the level of electromagnetic fields in your home and also protect yourself from electromagnetic fields with filters that will help keep those electromagnetic fields really low so that you won't be so subject to them. Other things to consider are air filters to clean the toxins out of your home, volatile organic compounds, radons, nitrogen dioxide, sulfur, asbestos. Air filters are really great for this, but maybe you didn't know this because I didn't realize just how powerful plants were. NASA actually did a study on how plants clean air, and they were found to be incredibly effective at reducing volatile organic compounds and other toxins in your air. Things like aloe vera, bamboo plants, Boston ferns, Chinese evergreens, date palms, and peace lilies, among others, are really wonderful at getting toxins out of your air. So not only do they make your home beautiful, but they make you healthy as well. When it comes to paint that you've used to paint the interior of your home, there are some really wonderful low volatile organic compound or no volatile organic compound, LOVOC or NOVOC paints that you could consider for painting your home. And carpets, the same thing. There are better choices for carpets that are all natural and don't have all of the glues and chemicals that can contribute to toxins in your indoor air. Another thing that not all of us think about are things like your lawn. And I remember years ago, before I really knew anything about natural health, I had a lawn service called Chem Lawn coming to keep our lawn green. And, you know, that all-important green lawn was something that everybody in our neighborhood thought was really important. But it wasn't until after I started doing some research that I realized that the chemicals in the lawn were not only could affect the health of anybody outside walking around in the yard, but also could seep into things like a well, into the water in your well. So think about, there are actually some organic, really much safer lawn care products that you can purchase. And if you're using Chem Lawn, there are even some services that you might be able to find in your neighborhood that would come and use these organic approaches as well to keeping your lawn green and beautiful. So we've given you a couple of resources in your handout that will help you find some better options for that as well. So we've covered a lot of things in terms of how you can go room by room through your house and think about making better choices for yourself and for your family. But one thing I want to remind everybody is Donna's principle of step-by-step. Just like when you're doing step-by-step in your detoxification program, in your diet, in your health program, when you think about your house, go step-by-step as well. Think about maybe going one room at a time or even a section of a room at a time. And educate yourself little by little as you go and decide what you want to do differently. It's so much better than getting overwhelmed by all of the changes that you could possibly make.